This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Every weekday, we talk with public officials, business and education leaders, nonprofit organizations, and more about the issues of the day. As we work hard to help you stay connected with local news and information, presented by Roseburg Foot and Ankle Specialist. Now, here's Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Good afternoon. Thanks for being here. A wine in the Umpqua program with the Umpqua Valley Wine Growers Association. Chuck Nossman in from Nossman Family Winery. Thanks for coming in.
You bet. Glad
so,
to be here.
Yeah, get real close to the microphone there. Okay. Talk about this summer. How do you feel like the grapes, how's it all going?
The summer so far has been great. Weather's been nice, nice and dry. We had a dry spring, which was we got off to an early start. We had a little bit of frost that hurt some people, but since then it's been awesome.
Yeah, I heard that frost, and maybe it depended a little on location or maybe varietal there, but it seems like a few people took a little hit on that.
Yeah, it was spotty. I think down south was a little bit rougher than had a little bit rougher time than we did up here north.
So what do you expect from this harvest?
I expect it's going to be a great one. The growing degree days or the warm days, sunshine has been really good for the grapes, and we got a ways to go, but hopefully end of September and early October will be really good for harvesting.
Have you gotten used to this whole aspect of doing everything that you've been taught, that you've learned to do, but still being dependent to some extent on the weather?
You learn you have no control. It all depends on, there's all kinds of factors, right? There's weather, like you're pointing out, fires, there's all kinds of stuff that can influence what goes on.
Yeah, and the fire aspect, I didn't even have brought that up yet, but that's been one too for really the whole Western Oregon area.
Right. Yeah, fingers crossed that we don't get any smoke this year.
And it seems like as well that sometimes the impact that the fire or the smoke could potentially have on grapes was more or less depending on where they were in their cycle, you know, how close they were to being harvested.
Yeah, that has something to do with it also, how far you are away from the fire itself, whether it's red or a white. Whites, since you don't ferment them on the skins, you don't really get any of that ash or anything on them. Reds, since you ferment them on the skins, that's where you get in trouble.
Right. So talk about Nossman Family Winery. How long have you had that?
We bought it in 2019. We're right off Garden Valley, right on the North Umpqua River, our tasting room. We do everything there. We only make wine out of what we grow. We crush it all there and then serve it there as well.
And how did you get into this?
Labor of love. My wife and I both have a passion for wine, and once we retired from our lives, we decided to set up camp here in the Umpqua Valley, and are really happy we did.
So where did you come from?
Seattle.
And what was your background? What did you do career-wise before?
I was in technology at T-Mobile, and my wife was at Fred Hutch Cancer Institute.
So that's a long way from a winery.
Yeah, it is. But we consumed quite a bit of wine and really enjoyed wine and really kind of wanted something to keep us busy both mentally and physically. And like I said, it's just a passion of ours, and we really, really enjoy it.
So when you went to look for a property, how did you settle in the Umpqua?
We were actually looking all over Oregon. We have children up in Seattle and down in San Francisco. And we were looking up in the Willamette Valley, and this place popped up on the market when we were actually hiking in Bend. And we took one look at it and couldn't get the grin off our face and got it right then.
Do you like being right on the river?
I love it. Absolutely love it. There are times it gets nerve-wracking, like in the winter, but it's fantastic.
I imagine for, I was going to say tasting room, but maybe tasting deck.
Yeah.
Not very few people have that advantage of being able to serve wine and do all that and have the river right there.
Yeah, and we try to we limit the like music and things that we have just because we have the Burkhart Rapids right there. So you're just listening to the sound of the river with a nice glass of wine. The other place I would say that you should go to is probably Rich Wine Cellars as well. They're on the South Umpqua River, and we're up on the north.
Wow. So you mentioned that you just do estate. What kind of production level do you have?
We only do between 500 to 750 cases a year. It all depends on what Mother Nature gives us.
Now, I was looking at your website, and there was something on there about a Pinot Noir Malbec blend.
Yeah. We go through a blending session every year. Actually, it'll kick up in August. From last year's barrels, we had some Malbec in a new American oak, which gives it a lot of different flavors. And we had some of that left over in 22, and we had some Pinot Noir left over, and we decided to try a blend, and came out to be fantastic.
So what goes into figuring out just how you do that?
Every year you go through and you taste through those barrels, try to figure out what percentages of what makes the best wine possible, and you'd be surprised at how little it takes to influence what a wine tastes like.
Now, sometimes I've seen now you're just blending two. Sometimes I've seen people blend more, and you know when they say it's 5% of this, I'm like, gosh, how does 5% make a difference?
Yeah, it really is amazing, especially with if you have a stronger red wine like a Syrah. If you go over 5%. You might as well just make it a Syrah because it will taste like Syrah no matter what else you have in there. It's pretty crazy. And it all depends on the wines you're trying to blend. We actually have one called Rouge that's all four of our red wines, which is Pinot Noir, Gamay Noir, Cabernet Franc, and Malbec. And that is a combination of all four of those.
Wow. So how did you learn all this?
I went to, took some classes or got my certification from UC Davis down in California. And then when we first started out, I was working with Cody Parker at Melrose. He taught us a lot about the process and what to do with the vineyard and things like that. And then we just, every year, we're just learning more and more and more.
So how different has this process been than you expected going in?
The vineyard's a lot more work than I thought it would be. The winemaking side of it is work, but it's also the very fun side of it. The work in the vineyard is tough. I mean, anybody you see that's working out there, they're putting their heart and soul in what's going on. And it takes a lot.
Well, and it's not a Monday through Friday 8 to 5.
No, not at all. And like you pointed out with the weather, I mean, powdery mildew starting to pop up now that we're getting hot and humid. So you got to be constant or vigilant about what's going on with those grapes and what's going on with the vines.
Anything else that's been really different than what you thought it would be?
There's nothing normal. Every year is different. Whether it's, like I said, in the vineyard with the weather, the ebb and flow of traffic from people, what's going on in the world, it all impacts what we do.
And it sounds like this is basically a small family operation.
Yeah, it's mainly just my wife and I. Our kids are very for it, but they're mainly product testers, I would say. They help when they can, but they've got their lives and small children as well.
So what's the hardest part of doing this?
Sales is obviously the hardest part. You really have to get in there. You got to get used to rejection. but like anything, the reward side of it is much better, much outweighs the negatives.
All right, Chuck Nossman with us. More when we come back. The interview, a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1245 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1247, Lars Larson coming up at 1. We are scheduled to talk with Tuesday night's performer at Music on the Half Shell, on Inside Douglas County on Monday. So be listening for that and other blues artists coming into the area. Chuck Nostrom here with Nostrom Family Winery. It's a Wine in the Umpqua program with the Umpqua Valley Wine Growers. Talk about how hard it could be, but talk about some of the fun or rewarding aspects of being a grape grower and winemaker.
I got to say the best is watching people enjoy your wine. Something that you've labored over, it's taken years to age in barrel, and you've brought it out into the world, and then watching somebody drink it and really enjoy it, there's just nothing better than that.
Now, you came out of technology where things happen in a nanosecond. So this has got to be like a big contrast.
Oh, my gosh. I can't tell you. Going quarter to quarter in the technology world, there's got to be something happening constantly. And when we first got here, we planted some Syrah. And it took 5 years before we could actually get it harvested and into barrel. And that taught me a lesson about nature.
And if you would have not been patient, you would have not got the product you ultimately got.
Exactly. And the thing that keeps us, like I said, that keeps us going in this is that pursuit of something better over time. And you have to be patient.
So what are your future plans for Dawson?
Kind of doing the same thing. We planted some Petite Syrah to use as a blender. Like I said, we have the Syrah now coming online. Our Cabernet Franc and our Malbec are starting to win awards, which is great. But we really just want to try to make the best wine possible for the Umpqua Valley and show off what the Umpqua Valley can do.
So how many acres do you have?
We only have 4 acres. We only have 4 acres.
And have you thought about adding more?
No. There's a point from an economic standpoint where we probably have to add 6 or double in size at least to make it worthwhile, essentially.
And then the aspect of the fact that that wouldn't be adjoining your current property, so then you get into...
Correct. And then you have to have larger equipment. You need more people. It just compounds on itself. So we like staying small. We like serving the Roseburg and general area public. And like I said, we're just very content with where we are.
But you're certainly not retired.
No. No, in a different way, yes, but we're actually having a lot more fun now than that day-to-day work. So I that's the way I say it's retiring. It's just... we're just really enjoying ourselves.
So how do you feel like the local wine industry is doing overall?
I think like the rest of the state, I think we're down a little bit. I think people have a lot more choice in the market now with ready-to-drinks and White Claws and things like that coming out. But, you know, I think we're doing okay. I think we're holding our own. I think people will always come back to wine. Wine is a great social lubricant, great conversation starter. And, we'll just, like I said, if you make great wine, people will just enjoy it.
Are you concerned at all, though, about the national trend of less people drinking wine?
I think it's cyclical. I really do. I think, even beer is going down a little bit. I think it will come back up. It's just people have more, like I said, people have more choice now, and they'll come back to it. They'll come back to wine.
I know it would vary depending on varietal, but what percentage alcohol do you end up with a lot?
We usually get about 12.5%. We're not that high. There's a reason we don't grow things like Cabernet Sauvignon on our property is I don't think we can get it to where it needs to be, probably 14-15% alcohol or ripeness in order for it to be as good a tasting as we'd like it to be.
And there are some, areas of Europe where they purposefully keep the alcohol level lower because alcohol or wine consumption is, over the course of a day, not just dinner.
Yeah. Well, I mean, alcohol is just kind of a manifestation of how much hang time you get, how ripe the grapes get. If you can get the grape phenolically ripe, meaning it tastes great, with lower alcohol, that's the win.
So how much interaction do you have with the other winemakers around the area?
Quite a bit. We meet monthly. We have technical tastings every quarter. So we're always exchanging ideas, whether that's with, you know, Chris Hudson in Elkton or Rob Icola at Whitetail Ridge. We're always talking with each other, seeing what's going on. We were just at Spire Mountain. He's great wines. Kevin's got great wines up there. You know, and talking how he does things, what he's seeing. So we're a pretty tight community.
So talk about what happens one of these technical tastings.
Essentially, we have different themes as we go in. So last one we had was we actually took wines from barrel and see where they are, whether we need to add some SO2 to them, whether they're ready for bottling, and those type of things. And then if there's anything wrong or people we have some great winemakers here, so if things are wrong, how do you correct them? It's very educational.
And do you ever do any blind tastings?
Oh, sure, yeah. In fact, most of the times that's what we do, is everybody brings it in a brown bag, swap the bags around, and people go through and taste them and see what they think.
And how many times are they surprised as to which one it is?
I think I would say 90% of the time, everybody. It's really hard, especially if you say it's a Pinot Noir panel. Whose is whose, that kind of thing. It's tough.
Now, I've only sat in on one of those once with Earl Jones way back.
Yep.
And it was pretty interesting.
Yeah, it's a blast, and it's eye-opening. It really tells you what different soils, different parts of the Umpqua, what, you know, even if it's the same grape, it tastes completely different.
Talk about wine and food pairings.
Wine and food are kind of they really do go together, and it doesn't have to be fancy. I think a lot of people think it has to be fancy. One of my favorites is actually Gamay Noir and hot dogs. Amazing pairing. And then Cabernet Franc and hamburgers, or Malbec and pizza, or Tannat and pizza. It just enhances the meal, and like I said, it also helps people talk with each other, and it's fantastic. It's a fantastic way to enjoy wine.
That's the first time I've heard of wine pairing with a hot dog.
Oh yeah, yeah. We actually run that almost once a year out at our place, where I'll do hot dogs on the grill, and we'll serve Gamay Noir, and it's amazing how much people enjoy that.
And how different can the wine taste when it's if you have part of a glass without the food, and then you have some with the food?
It can be radically different. That's why I like to do actually the hot dog with the Gamay. Gamay is kind of a softer, more cranberry tasting wine, and when you put it with a hot dog, it's meaty. It becomes almost like a Syrah. It changes. It's really cool. It's really fun.
So the food brings out things in the wine that don't necessarily come out without food.
Right. Vice versa. That's why, white wine with cheese, it really enhances both the tasting of the cheese as well as the tasting of the wine.
So with all that you grow, how many varietals do you have right now?
Seven or eight. Seven. Seven.
So, do you have a personal favorite to drink?
I don't. I mean, the reason we grow the ones we grow is because we really like them. And so if it's a hot day and I'm out on the deck, a Sauvignon Blanc is terrific. Like I said, if I'm eating a hot dog, it's Gamay Noir. If I'm eating a burger, it's going to be Cabernet Franc. But if I had to choose one, it would be Cabernet Franc.
And what about maybe a favorite from outside the U.S.?
Outside the U.S.?
I mean, it may be one of the same varietals, but...
Yeah. Malbecs from Argentina, some of them are very, very good. The Gamays from the Beaujolais region is really the first time we've ever had Gamay was from the Beaujolais region. Obviously, Pinots from Burgundy, and I'm a big fan of... Syrah from the Rhone as well.
And if people want to find out more about Nausman Family Winery, what hours are you there?
You can make a reservation on a Thursday, but we're open Friday from 3 to 5 and Saturday and Sunday 1 to 5.
All right, Chuck Nossman, thanks for coming in.
Yeah, thank you. Appreciate it.
1257 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This has been Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Listen every weekday afternoon at 12:30 to stay connected with what's happening in your community. It's presented by Roseburg Foot and Ankle Specialists. Today's interview will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it with others. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.